All right. Well, welcome to Salem Covenant. So glad that you are here on this last Sunday of October. If I haven't had a chance to meet you, my name is Jonna, and I'm one of the pastors here. It's funny because just a couple weeks ago, someone had asked me why I start so many of my sermons by talking about the weather. And I think it's mostly because we live in Minnesota and there's a lot to talk about. I mean, the most overpaid people in the world are weather forecasters in San Diego, right? It's pretty much 70 every single day, and you can just do that for the rest of the year. But here, a lot happens. And I think the weather unites us. No matter who you are, no matter what kind of week you've had, we've all walked through the same kind of weather together. It made me chuckle because to start this sermon, I was thinking about wind. It's been a windy week. I don't know if you're noticing it, but the winds seem to be picking up here in the fall. They often do that as weather patterns change. And we really got some strong gusts last Tuesday. It was a guaranteed bad hair day. There is no product on earth that can face down a 40-mile-an-hour wind. If you invent that hairspray, I'll buy it for whatever price you charge. I can remember when I was a kid, I grew up in northern Minnesota, and I just loved big winds. We had a big forest on our property, and part of it was an old-growth forest that had never been logged. And the trees were huge. And they seemed immovable. But you get a good summer storm, and those behemoths of bark would dance in the wind. In stories, it seemed to me, in childhood especially, that whenever the wind rose, things were going to change in the story. And perhaps the most famous windstorm of all is in the story of the Wizard of Oz, where the wind could actually transport you to a whole other world. That was so exciting. I can even remember sometimes in a storm standing out on our deck with my hands raised out, just hoping the wind would blow hard enough to take me to some new magical land with really great shoes, you know? I think maybe it's the invisibility of the wind that makes it so thrilling. I mean, you can only see its effects, but you never get to see it. And that kind of feels like my relationship with God. You know, I can't see him, but I feel his effects. I sense his presence all over my life and the life of my family. When I got to seminary, it was really interesting to learn that the Greek word pneuma in the New Testament translates two ways. It translates both spirit and wind. And I think that dual meaning really is the heart of the passage that we're going to be looking at today. As strange as it may sound, wind and people coming to faith in Jesus Christ have a lot to do with each other. We're going to be starting a new sermon series today called Bless. We at Salem long to bless people in our lives with some of the life that Jesus has blessed us with. And most of us have people in our lives who are disconnected from God. Some of them don't know Jesus at all. Some of them may have had bad experiences at church. And some of them just don't make faith a priority. And these are people we really care about. But we don't always know what to do to help them toward connection to Jesus. In fact, for me, there are five names that just instantly leap to my mind when I think of people like that. And I have to say, when I think of those five people, I feel teary. It would make my whole year, it would make my whole next 5 years if they awakened spiritually. In fact, I can't actually think of anything more exciting and encouraging than these people falling in love with Jesus. I'd give up all my vacations and my birthday and Christmas to have them become my sisters and brothers in Jesus Christ. And did you know that heaven feels the same way? Jesus tells us in Luke, "I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." It means that heaven goes all out to celebrate someone who comes to faith. And I can just imagine that party. Stunning flowers and ice sculptures, bands and bounce houses, terrific food. I just know there'd be a chocolate fountain. The Trinity, the angels, all the creatures of heaven and the great cloud of witnesses who've gone before us, all would break out in jubilant dance if just one of my five came to relationship with Jesus. This series, Bless, is all about us gaining some practices that could allow us to be part of that kind of celebration. And one of the first practices has to do with falling in love with the wind. Let me show you what I'm talking about. We're going to be in John chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. This is the story of someone who is spiritually hungry, but is not committed yet. And we actually get to hear Jesus himself invite someone to faith in this story. So go ahead, if you want to take out your phones, open up to John 3 or the Bible you brought, or there are Bibles in our little bookshelf in the back, grab that. So it'll be John chapter 3, and we'll start with verse 1. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after growing old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter into the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished what I've said to you. You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and yet you don't understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I've told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life." All right, so I first kind of want to work through this passage with you. Notice that Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. It could be that he doesn't want to be seen by his community. The Pharisees are often pictured in opposition to Jesus. But I also want to say that nighttime was the time when people in this culture sat down for long talks. It could be that he really just wants to spend some significant time with Jesus. He does let us know that the Pharisees are in disagreement about Jesus. Some of them are supportive, and some of them are in opposition. In fact, Nicodemus tells Jesus that some of the Pharisees, including himself, believe that he is from God. But I want you to notice where Jesus goes next. Nicodemus asks him no questions. Jesus just, out of nowhere, makes this statement. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Or another way of translating that born from above would be born anew or born again. It's kind of an odd conversation starter. It's clear that what Jesus is doing here is he's cutting to the chase with Nicodemus. Because Jesus so profoundly understands the human heart, it appears that he has quickly identified what the barrier is for Nicodemus to spiritual life. Nicodemus thinks that his birth means he will see the kingdom of God. He's a Jew. He's a deeply faithful, law-abiding Jew. He is one of God's chosen people. In his mind, his family or his heritage is what opens the kingdom of heaven to him. And Jesus confronts this immediately. He says, Nicodemus, your first birth will not suffice. You need a new birth, a new family, a new heritage. This is such an intriguing metaphor for conversion. Jesus, in fact, will never use this metaphor of new birth or being born again with anyone else. As he invites people to follow him, he uses different metaphors. So to an outcast woman carrying water, he tells her she must drink living water. To a fisherman, he tells him that he is going to become a fisher of men. To a rich young ruler, he tells him that he must sell everything and follow him. Each of these metaphors help the person with whom Jesus is talking to understand what committing to Jesus might look like for them. Each metaphor actually identifies a barrier. And for Nicodemus, he must be born again. So Nicodemus is intrigued, but he is baffled. He stays literal and tries to imagine how he could physically be born anew. Jesus goes on to explain that he's actually talking about spiritual birth here. Only a new spiritual birth will connect Nicodemus to this kingdom that Jesus is proclaiming. And he does this interesting play on words, and here's where that word pneuma comes in. Remember, it can be translated both wind and spirit. So in this passage, you're hearing the word pneuma used over and over, meaning both of these things. Jesus talks about how you can't control the wind or the spirit. Just like you can't make the wind do what you want or go where you want it to go, it is exactly the same with the spirit. You can't control the spirit, but you could allow the spirit to affect you. You can hear the effects of the wind or notice the movement of the wind, and it's the same with the Holy Spirit. It's clear that the spiritual life has its source in the Holy Spirit. It isn't actually connected to the physical birth we have. It's not about your nationality. It's not about your race. It's not about the family you were born into. It's not about your culture. It's not even about the belief system you were born into. If you want new life, then the Holy Spirit has to connect with your spirit, rejuvenating it and giving it eternal life. Nicodemus just can't grasp this. So Jesus briefly, in verses 11 through 13, talks about his authority. He's trying to encourage Nicodemus to trust him, even though this teaching sounds so radical to this Pharisee's ears. And Jesus then paints a picture for Nicodemus of the kind of Messiah he is going to be in verses 14 and 15. He uses a Jewish story from the story of Moses to explain the kind of Messiah he's going to be, but he really emphasizes that his Messiahship is about saving everyone, not just the Jewish people. In fact, one of the most famous verses in Scripture comes right after our passage, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Hear that, everyone? You see, Nicodemus must belong to a much bigger family than the Jewish one if he is going to follow Jesus and experience the kingdom of heaven. In this story, we don't get to see how Nicodemus answers, but we know that he is being invited into an encounter with the Holy Spirit that will be far more profound than anything that his Jewish heritage could offer him. So what does this have to do with our friends who we long to see in relationship to Jesus? I think it's that picture of the Spirit blowing like wind that reveals one of the most exciting and frustrating things about people's conversion. You just can't control the Spirit. You are not in charge. The Holy Spirit is the one that creates new life in people, and we can't make the Spirit give new birth to someone we care about. And it's a waste of our time to try. It's not our job to control the Spirit. So what is our job? Our job in this second birth that everyone we know and love needs is for believers to pay attention to where the Spirit is moving and get in sync with that work of the Holy Spirit. Nicodemus needed to notice the movement of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' ministry, and he needed to give in to it. And we need to do that too. We need to detect the ways that the Spirit is moving in someone's life and let that same Spirit move us. So our question in our Bless series is, what is the practice that will help us tune into the wind of the Spirit of God? And it is, begin with prayer. Prayer is our place of connection with God. Prayer is where we pour out our hearts and then listen to the voice of God speaking to us. Prayer is the sail we raise to gather the Spirit. The way you raise that sail is to commit to pray for the people in your life who don't know Jesus, and to pray expectantly, and to pray faithfully. When you do that, you raise the sail of the Spirit. And as the Spirit fills you, things begin to move. Things move closer to Jesus for you, and they move closer to Jesus for the people you are praying for. You see, when we pray, God's invisible work can become visible to us. We can ask God for opportunities to talk about spiritual things with the people we love. We can ask God for ways to connect and to deepen those relationships. And we can ask God to help us be part of someone actually meeting Jesus and saying their first yes to him. that uncontrollable Holy Spirit can become a powerful force in our relationships that move people closer and closer to real life in Christ. Salem, we are called to pray because prayer is the sail we raise to gather the Spirit on behalf of the people we love. So I have two assignments for you. The first one is to pull this insert out of the bulletin that one of our ushers handed to you. Will you reach over, find that, and pull this out? What you're going to find if you open this insert up, you're going to see on one side is some reflection on this first step in the bless process to begin with prayer. But you will also see on the other page, there is a place to make a prayer list. Here at Salem, we are going to challenge you and ourselves to commit to pray for people who don't know Jesus. We're going to pray for them every day for a month. Try to choose the names of people who you think you might actually interact with this month. I have two sisters out in Washington that I want to meet Jesus in a powerful, life-transforming way. But the truth is, I am not going to see them in the next month. So I'm going to focus my prayer on people that I know I'm going to encounter. Remember the people that you're going to be with over the holiday as well. Those are all names. We'd like to invite you to choose 3 to 5 people for whom you are raising the sail to capture the powerful wind of the Spirit on their behalf. Now, I want to say if your family is here, you're with a whole family, or you've got a couple friends, you could choose to do this together. Maybe each person in your family wants to write down some names, and then you can pray together at wherever your prayer pauses are. Might be at dinner, might be at breakfast, maybe before bedtime, but you together could pray for those names, for you, for your children, for your friends. Now, if you only picked up one bulletin for your family, I want you to know there are more of these inserts at this back table as you exit. Please grab as many as you need for your family members. Now, I do want you to notice that there are actually two lists. Do you see this? There's a nice little perforated list there. One of them is for you, so that you can just stick that in your Bible or stick it somewhere where you can continue to pray. I often pray on my drive to work, so it'd be perfect. I'll just tape it right on my dashboard and be praying. But the other one is for us here at Salem. I would love to hear the names of the people you are praying for. If you could actually just write out a second list, do the first one and then just copy it on that second page, then tear that perforation off. That would be terrific. We're going to be taking an offering right after this sermon. If you get it all filled out, like those names are right there on the surface for you, go ahead and write those down, tear it off, put it in the offering plate. But if you and your family need to talk about this, totally fine too. Just tear it off and bring it back next week for us. Again, we want to join you. We want to join you in this prayer effort. Your job here, your first job, is to make your list and start praying, because we truly believe that prayer is the sail we raise to gather the Spirit for transformation in the lives of people we love. The second thing that I want to do is to invite you to come to our prayer seminar that our prayer ministry team is hosting in 2 weeks. It's on a Saturday morning, November 9th, and it starts at 9 a.m. They'll have a nice little breakfast for you. Hollis Kim from the Northwest Conference office will be teaching us how to effectively pray for the people on our list. So you can just bring your list right with you. I think it's going to be an inspiring and a practical time as we together as a community raise our sails to see where the Spirit carries us and these people we love. I have to say, I can't wait to see what God is going to do in our midst in this next month. I feel like I can already hear the wind starting to blow today as you write the names of the people that you are going to commit to, that you're going to commit to praying for. And I wonder for the people who are on my list and who are on yours, what's going to happen? What is that next step that they're going to take toward Jesus? I believe that we are going to have some very exciting stories to celebrate and to thank God for at the end of this month. So let's begin with prayer. Lord God, we just want to thank you for the new life that comes from your Holy Spirit and the incredibly generous sacrifice you made so that we can have that life. Lord God, for me and my friends here, I pray that you will just highlight names. And as they write those names down on that list, I pray, Lord God, that your Spirit would fall heavy on those names, that there would be an awakening, that as we pray, Lord God, you help us see the wind of your Spirit already moving in these people's lives. And that, Lord God, you guide us to become part of that movement. Lord Jesus, thank you for the new life that you offered to Nicodemus. And thank you for the new life that you offer to every single one of these names we write down. Jesus, have your way. And blow, wind, blow. Amen.